Glad we can be here today, and I'm thankful for the Lord's blessings in giving us another new year. I didn't have any intentions of staying up until the new year came about, New Year's Eve night, but I ended up doing it anyway, so it was kind of a we didn't do anything but say Happy New Year to one another and realize we had stayed up past our bedtime. So some of y'all may have stayed up on purpose, but I didn't. So I was thinking about this service this morning and for maybe a couple weeks now about first Sunday of 2021, thinking about the future and what the future holds. And we have such a helpless feeling when it comes to thinking about the future. There is just so many unknowns. There's so much uncertainty about the future. And some people seem to cope with the uncertainties better than others. And I think some of that has to do with our personalities. And we could go around, all of us here today, and it's pretty easy for us to recognize we have different personalities. Some of us, if we get some news that is alarming, some of us feel like going and getting in a closet somewhere and shutting the door, and others want to go tell the neighbor. You know, it's just we're different, and it's so we look at the future differently. But there has to be something that we can use to help project our efforts into the future. I like to have a plan for myself. I like to have a direction on my job. I do my best to try to adapt to whatever, however the ball bounces, so to speak. And we all do. We have to adapt, you know, to the changing conditions, whether the power goes out or maybe your coworker doesn't show up for work, or equipment failure, and all of those kind of things. We have to adapt, but to be enthused about showing up for our job, and well, I'm here, and not know a thing about what's going to happen. I'm not that kind of person. I like to have something in my head. If I know what I can engage in when I get there, it just seems to start my day off right. And so I want us to look at a couple songs maybe beginning in our book. Number 300, my mother told me this was a favorite song of my grandfather that I never had the pleasure of knowing in this life. But it says, "Is not this the land of Beulah?" And I'd like to look maybe at verse 2. He says, "I can see far down the mountain where I wandered weary years, often hindered in my journey by the ghost of doubts and fears. Broken vows and disappointments thickly sprinkled all the way, but the Spirit led unerring to the land I hold today." So today, at this moment, is a reference point in our life. It could be a turning point. It could be we go enter a destination into Google Maps or MapQuest or someplace for directions, and then we can have another interest. We can say that we want to stop at Sam's on our way to visit Grandma, or we can stop at maybe you want to stop at a museum, or well, they're probably not open now, but anyway, you could have a waypoint to your final destination. So whether today is just a waypoint on your destination or a turning point, or it is a point. Today is significant in that it's a point that we can reference from. So this song says, I can see down the mountain where I wandered weary years. So the reference point is where he's at, the songwriter is at that day, and this is our day. So I'd like for us to just swing our vision in our minds, not that we turn around in our seats, but that we turn our minds to thinking about where you come from. I have to think where I come from, literally, not a distant state, not a foreign country. I could go through and tell you exactly where I came from. I can take you right to the house I lived in for the first 18 or 19 years of my life. And all of those things, I know where I came from literally. I know where I came from spiritually. I know where I've come from emotionally. I can go through, and as I look back over my past, I recognize that there's a lot of waypoints. I don't remember all of the, I don't remember every day, but there are points, there's intersection points, there's significant points. In a few years in the future, maybe a few days in the future, today is not, may not be one of those significant days, but it could be. It could be. So, but today is something we're measuring from and looking from. And as we look over our past, as the writer in this song says, he says, I wandered weary years. I was a place of confusion. He said, I was hindered. Apparently, he's a man that had good intentions, had a desire to be pleasing to the Lord. He said, I was hindered in my journey by the ghost of doubts and fears. I got the thinking in my mind of someone that was very conscientious, very careful in their life, in the ghost of doubts and fears. Do you know that a real conscientious person can just worry themselves sick over whether or not they close the door and whether or not they turn the oven off? And it's just like they want to chew their fingernails or something. And the person that's not very conscientious, it's like, well, I got insurance. If somebody goes in, it's like, we'll just turn it over to the insurance agent. And it's a different personality. But I just like to think that this songwriter here most likely was a very conscientious person, had good desires. He said he was haunted by the ghost of doubts and fears. He said there was broken vows. There was real things that happened. And it might not be, you know, I can have imaginary fears and imaginary hindrances. I can be worried about things that I did or didn't do in the past. But he said there was some real things. There was some broken vows. There was disappointments, thickly sprinkled all the way. I would venture that all of us here has had some ghost-like fears in our life. We've had some real disappointments. We've had some real, maybe some broken vows in our past. Maybe we didn't break them. Maybe someone else broke the vow. Maybe there's been other things that's all down through our life as we look back. But notice how he ends this verse. He says, but the Spirit led unerring to the land I hold today. So where I'm at today, I trust that all of us here can recognize and believe that God brought us to this point in our life. And that ought to give us a sense of comfort and a sense of peace in our life. And then I'd like for us to turn to number 370 in our book. And we're going to look at the second verse of this song. Don't think there's any correlation with second verses. It's just that it happens to be this way. He says, when I look o'er the past, I behold how his wide arms of mercy held me. Oh, his sweet love and peace are untold. In his favor, I'm happy and free. So today, as we look over our past, I can say that I believe that the Lord has held me in his wide arms of mercy. If it wasn't for mercy, I wouldn't be here today. If it wasn't for his blessings, I wouldn't be here today. So it is his sweet love and his peace that is beyond a comprehensible measure that has kept us to this point. And it's in his favor that I can be happy and free from accusation, from guilt, from condemnation, and I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for his blessings to us. But I want us to really dwell and dig in to our how we got from where we came from. Maybe you look back and you see that you was going in the opposite direction and there was some U-turns. I know there was a time in my life as a young man that I was consciously, although I'd been raised to go the right way, I was consciously making a decision to not to go that way. And there's a U-turn back there where I turned around. And some of you maybe didn't have that experience. Maybe you had a day, maybe there was a day in your life you realized, I'm going the wrong way. I never had it demonstrated to me any different, but I just realized this is not the direction I ought to be going in life. And there's a U-turn back there somewheres. But I just want us to think about where we come from and how we got here. And we want to end up thinking about our future. So, Joseph was lifted out of a pit. You remember? Some of us may have been lifted out of a pit. The only thing I think of when I think of a pit is a place we throw rubbish and junk. And most of the farmers in our area, if they've got a pit, a hole, some kind of natural thing that happened, whether the water washed it out or whatever, that's where they're going to throw all their broken machinery. That's where they're going to unload the shingles with the nails in it. That's where they're going to get rid of stuff. They're going to bury it out there somewheres. And Joseph was in a pit. His brothers put him there. But there was that day, there was that reference point where he was taken up out of that pit. He come out of a pit to go into slavery. But we know how Joseph ended up, right? So we look back in the past, and this is a long ways back. We look back and we see Joseph, and we see how God used the pit to change the direction of his life. And then there was the children of Israel that ended up, because of Joseph's good experience, they ended up in Egypt and ended up in slavery. And we find out that God brought them out a mighty nation, brought them out of slavery. That was a real reference point. And we look at how that Daniel was a man that had been thrown in with the lions. And you remember his confidence? You know, the day he got thrown in the lion's den was not the day to be really apprehensive of whether God could take care of his future, was it? But he went into the lion's den with a level of confidence that God was going to take care of them. And he did. We've got the story. And then his three friends that said to the king, "We are not careful to answer thee." Now, we may think we're facing a fiery furnace, but it wasn't a literal one like these men were. But they said, "We're not careful to answer thee. We will not bow down. You're going to have to throw us in the fiery furnace." But their confidence in the future, this is not the second time they'd been in a fiery furnace. This was the first time. They had seen God help them in reference points in their life. We have maybe not faced the fiery furnace, but this is what I want us to get a hold of. We look over our past. We say, I believe God brought me to where I'm at. I believe He did. I believe His wide arms of mercy, it's His love, His compassion, His grace that's helped me to get to today. And as we look over that, there may be a fiery furnace right out there. I don't know what this year holds. But the three Hebrew children took what they had, the experiences they had, the reference points they had, and they said, just want to let you know, King, even if that's what we got to look forward to, we're not going to bow. I know the God we serve. I've not seen Him do it yet. But I know the God we serve is able to deliver us out of that furnace. But if He don't, we're still not going to bend. So, how about me? Where I'm at today, what the Lord has brought me from, how He's led me and directed me to this point, and then, you know, it's hard to turn exactly 180 degrees from where the Lord has brought us from. You understand what I'm saying there? Instead of looking where we're at back into the past, if we can turn exactly the opposite direction to look in the future and be perfectly aligned with the Lord's leading up to this point. Does that make sense? Because it's so easy for us to realize that the Lord brought us from here and brought us to this point. And then when we look back and say, oh, it's the Lord. It's the Lord. Every step of the way, He's brought me to this point. But now, when I turn around to the future, I do this. And you see what I'm trying to say? Lord, help me to realize that when I turn and go forward, I want the same type of pattern. I don't want to get off track. I don't want to turn 179.3 degrees. You know, I'll talk just a moment about surveying. I don't know anything about it other than I know they use degrees. All right? And I know when they establish 2 points that they can turn whatever the specification is, they can turn 180 degrees and project a straight line on from that point. But many times we fail to do that. We feel like we've turned and we're looking into the future just like God has led us to this point in the past. We can see the past, you know, hindsight is always 20/20, right? But usually in the future, we don't see very good. I don't. You know, Peter was delivered from prison. That would have been a remarkable experience. It amazed the people that he even went to see after he got out of prison. Went and knocked on the door. They came to the door, and they were so excited, they went back in. They said, Peter's out there. And they said, no, he's not. Y'all, you lost your mind. Told that young lady, there's no way it can be Peter. He's in prison. They were praying for Peter, but when he got out, they didn't believe it. You know, we look and say, that was the Lord that brought Peter out of prison. Well, sure it is, but what if we're faced with putting in prison? What does it look like? Well, I'm going to die here, skin and bones. Rats is going to eat me up. That's what we're going to think about instead of saying, the Lord is going to bring me out of this place. That's generally, we just think, this is the end. I'm going to die just like this, except it's going to get worse. That's what we think. Paul and Silas was delivered from prison, and they played an important role in the jailer and his house being saved, didn't they? And we can sing this song, number 479 in our book, that says, He lifted me out. He lifted me out. Not just Joseph out of the pit, not just Peter out of jail, not just the three Hebrew out of the burning fiery furnace, but He lifted me out. I was in a bad way. If it wasn't for God, I would be a rank sinner today. And you would too. But with God's help, He lifted us up and put us on the right path. And He's been kind of urging us along all the time. Well, I think about one of my little granddaughters. This will be revealing. Y'all have seen this too. Once she learned to walk, she learned to run pretty soon. And then she said, look at me run. And she didn't look where she's going. She turns her head around and is looking at me, and she's running that way. And it's like, child, please turn around and look where you're going. Look how fast I can go, Papa. And she's running, and sure enough, you know what happens? She hits something, or she trips and falls. Maybe not a lot of times, but I don't know how she does as well as she does, not looking where she's going. But anyway, sometimes I think that's how we feel like we're going to get into the future, is looking behind us, and my neck doesn't bend very good, never has, but I can't look behind me and run forward. And the Lord wants us to be in a place that we're not trying to look behind us all the time to make sure we're lined up, but He wants us to look forward with what? With confidence, with anticipation that He can lead us and that there's something good for our souls out there in the future. I'd like to go to Hebrews, the 13th chapter, and notice just a few verses over here. He says, 13 and verse 5 beginning, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I believe that. I just simply believe that. That the Lord will never leave us nor forsake us. Daniel believed that. Peter believed that. Paul and Silas did. They began to sing at midnight, I believe. That's when the earthquake shook the whole jail and people were being turned loose. And the angel, you remember what happened, how Peter got out? The angel said it poked him in the side and said, get up. And when Peter went to get up, the shackles fell off and the doors just, as he got up to the door, the next door just swung open. And he got out plumb out in the street before he came to himself and realized he was out of prison. Well, that's the Lord working it all out. Peter probably looked back and think, I don't know how it all happened. Was it a dream that I was in prison, or was it a dream that I escaped? It was all reality. You know, the Lord is not going to leave us. We might have a pit ahead of us. We might have something else. We might have a furnace. We might have some lions to face. But He'll be there with us. Now listen to this. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. When are we going to say that? I remember when the Lord worked something out for me. It's incredible to look back and see how the Lord guided my life. That's not what He's talking about. He says it's so that we may boldly say. When are we going to may boldly say? That's for the future. I know the Lord's not going to leave me. I know He's not going to forsake me. So I can boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. So for the future, we all have a track record this morning of the Lord helping us and bringing us to today. So as we turn from that, we want to turn all the way. We don't want to get off on a tangent. We don't want to get down, just on a bypath a little bit, but we want to turn and lead ahead like the Lord has helped us in the past. And as we go ahead, I want us to be able to boldly say, that means with confidence, that means with assurance, the Lord is my helper. I'm not real sure what it's like to spend the night with a den of lions, but the Lord is going to be my helper. I don't know what it's like to get thrown in a den of lions, but the Lord will be my helper. He says, remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. We need to take in consideration those that have in the past and will in the future try to help us direct our spiritual lives. And he says, whose faith follow? You know, faith is something that's not in the history books yet. Faith is something, he says, if we will follow their faith, we'll get the same historical records that they had. There's those that have gone on that have, by their faith, have followed God and been directed by Him, and now it's in the history books. He says, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation, considering how their life ended up with the faith that they exercised. Okay? Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. I want us to take that home with us. Jesus Christ, the one that caused you at that day to have that realization, I'm on the wrong path. I'm going the wrong way. I realize I'm not pleasing to God. I realize I want something better. And when we turned around and made that U-turn in our life and brought us to today, we can look from today back to then and realize that God is the one that brought us to this point. And now I want us to realize and believe and accept that He's going to be the same forever. He's going to be there tomorrow. I don't know what your tomorrow holds. I don't know what mine holds. I'd like to have a little plan. I'd like to think, well, I got something I need to do tomorrow. I got something I can engage with. But I don't know what tomorrow holds. I didn't know what the day held that when things came upon me unawares, but I look back now and see that the Lord blessed through that. Be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines. Why does he say that? Because he knows tomorrow might include some of that. Be not carried away with divers or many and strange doctrines. Don't allow yourself to be deterred and get your angle off. Don't allow your direction to be changed. Be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats which have not profited them that have occupied therein. There's a big challenge to face tomorrow. It's a big challenge to face tomorrow with confidence, knowing that God will be there. But I believe He will be. I believe that, and I'm going to live like that. By God's grace, I'm going to live like that, knowing that He's the same forever. I do not want to be distracted. There's enough false doctrine. There's enough strange doctrine. There's enough various doctrine out there spiritually to impact us and lead us off. The devil, as we talked about in our Sunday school class, the devil has many wily tactics to try to distract us, and I don't want to be distracted. Notice a couple more verses, and we'll bring our little thought to a close this morning. Let's look in Isaiah 43 and verse 2. There is such courage and confidence and assurance in this verse. He says, "When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee." Doesn't that make us feel good? To know that the Lord is going to go with us. He says, if you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. When they won't overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you'll not be burned. Neither will the flame kindle upon you. You're going to be safe. Isn't that what we want to know? I want to know that my future is safe. I'd like to go to Joshua now, the first chapter, and the third verse. And I'm not trying to preach a gospel of prosperity this morning. I want to preach a gospel of confidence, and the one that we know that we can count on. The Lord will go with us. He won't let the fire burn us. He won't let the waters overwhelm us. He'll be there just like he was there for Joseph, and just like he was there for Daniel and his three friends, he'll be there for us. Look at Joshua 1 and 3. He says, "Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses." Every place, that's in the future, isn't it? We hadn't even put our foot down yet. But every place that you put the sole of your foot on, I'll give it to you. But you know what we got to do? We got to move our feet. We got to stretch out there and put our foot down. Literally and physically and spiritually. We got to move forward. We can't, have you ever tried to, go forward by walking backwards? You know, turn around. You know, if you turned around and kept lined up with the past and just walked backwards into the future, you'd think you'd keep on the safe. That's not very safe. You're gonna hurt yourself. We got to keep our eyes on where we're going, but we got to remember how he helped us in the past. We got to remember our failures. We got to remember those things that seem to weigh us down and seem to try to distract us. And maybe there's been some failures. Well, thank the Lord for his wide arms of mercy. And as we move forward now, every place I put my foot, he says, I'll give it to you. And we step out with confidence saying, Lord, I want this land. I want this courage. I want this confidence in whatever area it is in my life. And I step out with confidence knowing that when I say the Lord's promised, he's going to be there for me in the future. He won't let the waters go over my head. He won't let the fires burn me. He's going to give me victory in the future. I'm thankful that we could end 2020 with confidence and assurance that the God of heaven kept us through that year. And I don't know what 2021 holds. I used to think that the year 2000 would be the year that I became old. And here I am 21 years past that. And life is still going on. And I don't know what this year holds, but I believe with all of my heart that when we get to this place next year, we can look back and say, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. So I want us to go forward with this year, remembering how the Lord has brought us, knowing He's going to go with us, and remembering that every place that we put our foot, the Lord's promised, He'll give us. He'll give us victory. He'll give us the confidence. I would desire your prayers. The Lord will help me to keep my confidence and my courage up. And I want us all to end this year blessed in our souls and our spirits. You pray for me.